Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, I saw two shows this past week. The first, well, I guess I better speak fast since it's closing in a week, and that would be Chicken and Biscuits at Circle in the Square. Now, this one has had a checkered run, filled by COVID closings off and on, and obviously not selling enough tickets. But you know what? If you have time this week, go see it. Chicken and Biscuits features eight stellar performances, each specific and memorable. The best-known names likely are Norm Lewis and Michael Urie, both doing great work. Urie is the only white member of the cast and a Jewish one at that, which makes for some fun stuff. It all takes place at a funeral in a black church. Well, there's no food offered the audience, but Chicken and Biscuits is appetizing, funny. If you want to get over the X, get under the next. That's just one line I remember. It's often surprising with plenty of moving family moments. It also has a few too many endings, but so be it. My other show will not be closing anytime soon. It's called Six, S-I-X. It's the biggest and frankly most perplexing hit of the season. Now, you won't find it on any TKTS list. They've already extended it through the summer, I think. I'm truly fascinated by this because, for me, the show feels like Las Vegas meets The Voice. And it's played like that. The former wives of Henry VIII are competing for most sympathetic or most worth remembering. It's a musical through and through, and the six performers, at least the ones I saw, are highly professional, good voices all, and they manage to elicit humor with most every expression. And there is cleverness in many of the lyrics, but subtle wit, well, if lines like, "What hurts more than a broken heart? A severed head," makes you smile, this may be your preferred cup of tea. The show is only 70 minutes, and people are being asked to pay hundreds for a seat. Now, clearly, it's appealing to a largely female and largely millennial segment that enjoys the feminist slant and perhaps crave anything, crassness be damned, about royal history. Awards? Well, I doubt that. The Tony voter I went with hated Six, but said, well, to each his or her own. And we both agreed that any show that is bringing audiences back and giving work to talented folks, well, deserves our gratitude. Now, apparently Six is a classic compared to another royalty-themed musical, which just opened, that being Diana, about you-know-who. Now, if reviews mean anything, these were definitely the worst I have ever read. That one could go down quickly. On the other hand, if coming tourists bought them in advance, maybe Diana will stay up a bit. I'll be skipping that one. Now, off-Broadway, much is happening for much lesser prices, of course. These include Paul Osborne's Morning at 7, which was old-fashioned even when it opened decades ago. It became a regional theater darling, and two Broadway revivals were done about it, or on it, likely because it provides strong roles for, well, shall we say, aging actors. Well, now it's being staged at Theater at St. Clemens with an impressive cast of very old-timers, including Lindsay Krause, Amba Cuervo, John Rubinstein, Tony Roberts, and Dan Loria. That one is only up for a limited run. Again, it's at St. Clemens, the theater at St. Clemens, which is kind of downtown. Also up only through early December is one called Medicine. Well, not the best title. At the always challenging St. Anne's. This one is supposed to be Freudian and, I don't know, surreal, but anyway, always interesting stuff at St. Anne's in Brooklyn. And then The Alchemist is the latest, well, at this time, newest production from the always out there Red Bull Theater Company. And this one is playing at New World Stages on West 50th Midtown. The runtime is 2 hours. It's a farce adapted by Jeffrey Hatcher, directed by Jesse Berger. And off. Well, wait a minute. There's also the Rattlestick Theater, and they're continuing In the Southern Breeze, written by Mansaray, which explores the social, racial, and generational struggles and injustices that black men face. Now, all those shows are live and in person for now. And off is the latest from Hershey Felder, a new musical that he scored called Dante and Beatrice in Florence. That premieres next Sunday, or this Sunday, November 28th. That one is streaming, obviously, unless you can get to Felder's Place in Florence by then. More music, but back on our shores, the York Theater Company in Manhattan is opening one this week called Cheek to Cheek, Irving Berlin in Hollywood. It's interesting, since Hershey Felder's last New York show was also about Irving Berlin. I will be seeing Cheek to Cheek this week and reporting on it next We Talk, along with Lynn Nottage's new play called Clydes and Trouble in Mind, both on Broadway and both focused on the Black, or at least working class, experience. Which brings me, fittingly, to the most touching and timely obit of the week. It was for one Ed Bullins, considered among the most significant Black playwrights of the 20th century, and a leading voice in the Black arts movement of the 60s and 70s. August Wilson called him an influence. Over a 55-year career, he produced nearly 100 plays. Most of his work appeared in Black theaters in Harlem and Oakland, California. Perhaps that's why he never reached the heights of peers like August Wilson. But if there had been no Ed Bullins, perhaps there would have been no August Wilson. He was 86 when he died. I confess I did not know his name, but like so many others who were forgotten, Jill, they are being remembered now. Too late, but better than never.
Always better than never.
Always better than never.
All right, so it looks like things are picking up out there.
Picking up? I'm telling you, every theater that I've been to, it's been a full house practically.
Which is interesting, considering how it was how it was thought that it was going to be. So that's got to be a relief to some people. Have you the Diana review was it as bad as Carrie?
That's the worst review. The New York Times and every review was similar, but that was the most vicious review I think I've ever read. Apparently, it's that bad. It's enough already with Diana, I think. You know, that's sort of the bottom line. But, you know, the people who go to see Six, you know, if they choose another play when they come to town, they may choose Diana if that's what they're into. I don't think that's going to have a long life. You know, Six is good enough and professional enough, and it is what it is, so to speak. It's not a personal. I mean, they're tales of six different women, but... No, I've never read anything as vicious. That's what I read about Diana.
Okay. Because, again, I'm going to just say I thought Carrie was pretty bad when they were there. That review was pretty toasty.
Yeah, I don't think I was living here then, so I'm not sure I remember that.
Okay. Just because there are those that you just look at and go. By the way, I pulled out the Diana review. And I saved it because each paragraph was more cutting than the next one.
And I thought, my God. You know, in the old days... really old days, they used to read reviews aloud at Sardi's right after the show opened.
Right.
And if a show got that kind of review, they closed it the next day. That's how it used to be done. I think maybe, you know, now with more tourists coming and it's holiday season and people do buy things much more in advance. I don't know. You know, that would be the kind of show that would close the next day, but obviously maybe they have a good advance.
Right. And then I would say the whole funding business, for lack of a better word, has changed considerably from that. So, you know, certain things are allowed to continue as, I'm going to coin a phrase, as zombie shows because of backing.
Well, yeah, the backer, the investors want
remember,
to see it.
Remember, and weren't some of Frank Wildhorn's shows like that? You know, they'd get horrible reviews, but they would stay open.
Oh, there were some, you know, if you go back and look at the reviews of Wicked when that opened, it didn't get like Diana reviews, but Wicked got negative reviews. People didn't think that would last. It's still, though, you know, one of the three shows that you can't get a seat for.
Right.
So, there are different, you know, degrees of negative, obviously. But
X number of degrees, 6 degrees of separation, X degrees of negative. And I noticed also the Music Man. I'm struck, you know, as I mentioned to you earlier, there's this new thing, these banner, the banner adverts at the front of the New York Times instead of just in Arts and Leisure where they used to be.
So. Yeah, and those are usually things that those investors we talked about want to see because, hey, I put money in this. You better put money in investing in advertising for the show. I will say, I can't believe Music Man needs that. They are already selling. They just put out a new block of tickets for August. August. This is not even December. That means that all the shows are selling out. Or they're trying to scare people into, you know, come for the summer, come for the, whatever. But I believe that, you know, that there's no doubt the Music Man is the show everybody's talking about and anticipating. And if you go to Broadway.com, you can watch some rehearsals with Hugh Jackman and Sutton Foster. And, you know, what can I say? It'll be shocking if it's not great, but we shall see. It's a different time. You know, these are different times we're living in. And whether that show is going to fill a need that we have right now, yeah, just give me a small town where they only care about, you know, a band in town or what to do with the kids who are playing pool, whatever. Maybe that'll strike a nerve. Maybe it'll strike the other kind of nerve, like, you know, what? You know, an all-white show in an all-white little town. But no, it's a different... So anyway, we'll know a lot more by...
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.